Church, we're holding today on Daf Samach Daled. And we still have to catch up a bit. We're on Samach Gimel on the base. Starting off five lines up from the bottom. Turn around. Lokrim eitzim min avdei kofavim b'chol makom. You're allowed to buy eggs from a goy at any location. Say any location, mash, but even in locations where you don't have a rove of kosher eggs necessarily. Ve'in choshishin lo mishum nevelot ve'lo mishum trefot. You don't have to worry that the egg was found in a dead bird, and therefore would be asos nevela, or that the bird was trefot. So I say, well, that's all very sweet, but how do you know it's a kosher bird? I mean, Dilma of Tameinu. How do you know it wasn't taken from a bird that's not kosher? Omer Avodah Shmuel. Well, seller tells you that he says Meof Ploni, and it's tahar. It's from such and such a bird, and that's a kosher bird. Well, why is that? Why can't he just say it's a kosher bird? Meof Ploni. I mean, so of tahar, why can't you just say it's kosher bird? Because the yachi is a vishtamute. If he does that and you discover that it's not similar to a kosher bird that you know, he'll say, I never told you which bird, it's a different bird you're not familiar with, and you know, it's a strange egg, and it looks like this. So, therefore, he has to tell you what type of bird is. That way, he knows you may end up comparing two of them and saying, "This ain't no yellow-bellied Kuchawanga bar. Why is he still claiming it is?" Why don't we just check the simanim of eggs? Of course, we never heard about this before. The Tanya simanei beitzim. It says the simanim on eggs are similar to simanei dagim. Simanei dagim? Come, what are you talking about? Sagadaita? Snapir v'kafketer? Who ever saw an egg that has scales and fins? You ever see an egg with scales and fins? Give me that, Amarachmana. Ela'ema kak simanei ubrei dagim. The Gemara, what the Bryce was saying was that the same simanim that we have on bird egg, we have on fish eggs. If you buy caviar, you can know if it's kosher. Betani gabe beitzim, and what are those simanim? As it says on beitzim, eloin simanim beitzim, what's simen for beitzim, are if you have kosher koderet val gugola. If it's round but oval shaped, if it would have always said al gugola, it would have been mashman. It's literally a round thing in one direction. I really says koderet, it means like it's like a Rashi uses the example of cheese. You know, cheese, you can have a round cheese, especially flat, but it's round. This means like a ball. And on the other hand, it's not literally like round like a ball because it's spherical, but it's still a different one. It has one side is cod, one side is chad. Yeah, full cod. Rosh Echad Kad v'Rosh Echad Chad, and it has one rounded and one more sharpened end, then it's Tahora. If both ends of the eggs are rounded to the same extent, or both ends of the egg are sharpened to the same extent, then it comes from a Tomei bird. If the Chelbon is outside, the white of the egg is outside, and the...
Birds.
Are we talking about what?
Fish.
Both. Fish and birds. Chelbon mi bachutz vechelmon mi bifnim. If the albumen is outside and the yolk is inside, then it's tahor. But if the chelmon mi bachutz and the chelbon is mi bifnim, on the other hand, if you have the white of the egg inside and the yolk of the egg outside, now this certainly does not mean that the yolk surrounds the albumen. There's no such egg. It means that there are eggs in which the yolk is on one side and the albumen is on the other side, so that it's not surrounded, is what it means. Then that's a egg that is from a tamea.
Does the yolk have to have broken
No. It can't have broken.
It's broken. But it is then surrounded.
No, there are eggs in which the yolk is pressed up against the wall of the egg, membrane of the egg. If the yolk and the white are mixed one with the other, and the portion explained mixed means that it doesn't have a clear-cut membrane around the yolk that allows you to separate it easily, like you have in the common bird egg. So then, biyadua shebeitzat hasheret, and it's clearly not a bird egg at all. It's actually some type of sheret, maybe a snake or something. We'll see later on. In any event, why can we not look at these simonim instead of asking the guy what kind of egg it is? Lo tzricha de chatuchot. Well, talking about over here that the eggs have been broken into a bowl, so you can't examine the shell. Okay, but even if you can't examine the shell, you could still examine the chalbon and the chalbon and see if how they fell into the bowl. It's talking about the tzrufot bekara. They were beaten eggs. And then if the guy tells you a beaten egg, and he says, well, it's from bird X, and it's kosher bird, you can buy it. What? You can? Now you're allowed to buy a beaten egg from a goy. You cannot sell a beitza that comes from a bird that you know to be treif to a goy, because he may sell it to a Jew, unless you beat the egg first and then sell it to him. Because of that, the fifach ein lo chimian beitzim trufot v'kara. Therefore, a Jew cannot buy a beaten egg from a goy, which is mashma. The only reason you can't buy the beaten egg is because a beaten egg is the kind of egg that is sold to you by a Jew when it's treif. But otherwise, you could have bought a beaten egg. Why would that be? Since we obviously have a chashash and a tarfus. So some rishonim learn that this is dafk, and actually this is the way we pass it. That this is dafk in a place where you have rov eggs that are kosher anyway. So you'd be allowed to buy the egg. The whole discussion before when it said b'chol makom, it's talking about even in a place where you don't have rov kosher eggs. And then you can rely on what the guy is telling you, as we'll see. So then the question becomes, if there is a reason for the egg to be taruf, from where this was raised, or the issue where the issue comes up, Tosis brings this question. And in France, they would sell these various or bread things that had eggs. Yeah, you still see them. They sell them here also, eggs on top of bread. And they were matir buying this from goyim. And so he was concerned, what about the fact that it says beitza trufot? And it's not a beitza trufot. So he explains, it's only where there's a reisa because the beitza is true. Well, why are you selling me a beaten egg? Why isn't it whole? Obviously, it can't be whole if that's the way you're making the bread. So there, it's not a question. It's only because, and that's the mashmot of the sugya over here. If it's in a place where most of the eggs are kosher, and then you can assume that the egg is kosher. Now, your only question is, why does he sell me a whole egg? Then you have to worry, maybe a Jew sold him the trufa egg in order to avoid it being trefa. And because of that, you wouldn't buy it. But if there's a reason, it's been used to coat bread or whatever, then obviously you won't have this chashash. So, in any event, this is not the answer. This can't be the answer, that the egg was taruf, because then you wouldn't buy it from it. So what is the answer? Why don't you just check the egg? It's very simple. These simonim are our observations.
Just these.
They're our observations. We do not have any Kabbalah on this. We have no reason to believe, although we would have perhaps allowed you to be sumich on it, if we could have used induction. In other words, every case that we saw seems to be this way. Problem is that we found one case that isn't this way. And that is, once again, that good old Orev that keeps pretending to be a Yonah. Well, it does, and by the way, you know, that's really a very significant way in which the Orev parasitizes other birds' nests. It lays eggs similar to other birds. Then the chicks hatch, throw out the eggs from the nest of the real bird. They hatch the day before the mother species. They throw right out.
That's what the cuckoo.
Yeah, the cuckoo is exactly the type of ovary. Throws out the eggs of the other birds.
Little chickens.
Yeah, as they're born. The first thing they do is come out of the egg, and they pick up the other eggs and throw them out of the nest. And then the mother raises only them, thinking that they are her chicks. So this is like the ultimate oraid, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mixing. What? Horrifying. This is horrifying.
Sounds like some people.
Well, Arabim. Oraid is the same letter. Yeah. There's no question. They would do that with pleasure. You cannibalize your kids.
The other birds are so stupid that they would hatch somebody else if they would.
You don't have to eat too bright to be a bird. They don't call them bird brains for nothing.
They do have good vision.
Come. So because of that, says the Gemara, because we have we'll see later on, the Yonah, the Oreb that acts like a Yonah, we can't rely on these simonim. The Elote Mahachi, and it's clear that the simonim are not the Oraisa, because if they were the Oraisa, how could we ever have a suffix about whether a bird is kosher? Check the eggs. We said 2 days ago, Amravasi, Shmona Svekote. We had all that list of various svekas. What's the suffix? Lived up with Beitz, and you don't want to check the eggs. Obviously, the check is not reliable. The Shmamina, Simonim Lav the Oraisa. So then if that's the point, why say it? I thought, you can't use it. I mean, it's just driving us crazy. So am I up for Katabila? No. The point is this, that if you have Shnei Roshei HaKadim or Shnei Roshei HaKadim, let's say you start off with an egg that does not look like a kosher egg. Either it has a shell that is formed with two similar sides, or it has the Chalmon Mibachutz V'Chabon Mibifnim. So it has a strange yoke of human relationship. That's definitely Tmeya. Don't even ask the guy. Don't buy it. But if it has the proper simanim, so Reshachat Chad, and it has the Chalbon Mibachutz, and it has the Chalbon Mibifnim, and the guy tells you, this is the egg of such and such a type of bird, which is Tahar, then smoke aliyah. Then you can rely on these simonim. But the stomach of the smoke aliyah, you cannot rely on these simonim on their own.
Is this a Jewish name?
No, a non-Jew. That's why he has to tell you what kind of bird it is, so that he'll be afraid that you'll do a comparison. The Ika, the Urva, the Dami, the Yonah. You always have the Orev birds that look like the Yonah birds, and therefore you can't. The eggs. Omar Mar, Chelbon v'Chelmon Uravim Zebizet Yodua Shehi Beitzat Hasheret. The last thing you said was that if you don't have a clear separation between yolk and albumin, then it's definitely a sheret's egg. Who cares? And the Mayilka said, what's the meaning of telling me that it's a sheret's egg? Omar Hugo Barchamel makes a big difference. Because Imrikma, if in fact the embryo has formed, and now there's a hole in the egg, then the halacha is that it's metame. Because since a sheretz is metame b'ka'adash, which is a very tiny shear, you'll end up having tuma of a sheretz from this dead egg. That's very important to know. And normally an egg, obviously, is not going to be metame.
If it hasn't been fertilized, it's home, you don't have to worry about it. It's only in the case where...
Yeah, for sure. Masya Ravina Vidilma Dinachash, you understand. All it said is a beta resheretz. I mean, there's only eight type of sheretz in the time. I mean, it could be thousands. Maybe it's a snake egg. A snake egg won't be a snake is a metame. So maybe it's a nachash egg. Elamarava, true. Okay. So the point is that I need to know it's a sheretz to let me know that Imrikmav Achla, if it formed an embryo and you ate the embryo, then you would be Chayav Malkus reading a Sheretz HaSheretz El Oretz. That's why it's important. Well, wait a minute. So then even if it's a kosher egg, if you ate an embryo, Yehoki, my Ari did to me, Afila Toranami. The Tanya doesn't say in the Bright Kol, Asherat Hasharet Al Oretz, the Kol is coming to be Marbe, Eprochim Shalom Yitkukwenehem. I mean, even a hatched egg that is still a not yet standing up with its eyes open is still viewed. It's like a Sheret. It's lying there like a Sheret.
You can't eat
them. Mashman, you'd be fired if it's a Sheret or Sheret Al Oretz. So why wouldn't that be the equivalent of the Beit HaSheret? So what's the difference? Is it a Sheret or it's not a Sheret? That's only Midrabbonim. And the whole thing is that Rabbonim cross marked the Yom, certainly it's not a Sheret. Don't Rabbonim.
A dead chicken?
It's alive. It's alive, 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 alive. It's freshly hatched.
No.
Right. Turn it up on him. Yeah, sure. It's a chicken? It's a real chicken?
Chicken doublet.
Turn it up on him. Giulei Beitzim Mutarot. Giulei Beitzim, the sugya, the main sugya of Giulei Beitzim refers to eggs that are treif that were cooked with eggs that are kosher. Okay. And when it says over here they're mutarot, it means they're mutarot because there's no tam that's transferred from one egg into another egg.
So the eggshell?
And there's no, I don't know what the reason is. I mean, the eggshell is obvious. It's a permeous membrane. That's why it's there. It allows for gas transfer and so on. Although it is true that if you want to hatch an egg and put it in an incubator, you cannot wash it. If you wash it, then you force things into the pores of the shell, and it won't hatch. So if it's very dirty, you're afraid it's contaminated, you have to use sandpaper on it, believe it or not. Yeah, otherwise you mess it up. Which is a boiled egg. It's something that is megual because it's mixed with other things. Now, Tosus admits, that's how Rashi learns. Tosus admits that's definitely the way that it's usually used. But he says here it doesn't make sense because of the continuing sugya. And the way that we're using it here, Tosus suggests that, and he brings from the Oruch, that says the same thing, that it's talking about where you bang on the chicken and you force an unfinished egg out. And that's a lotion of giul. We find iber, or yagil. You find a lotion of giul on something that is not completed. And therefore, it's like the next piece, which is giulei beitzim mutarot and beitzim muzarot. Beitzim muzarot do not mean weird eggs, as you might think. But beitzim muzarot mean eggs that have been sitting around for a while with the mother on top of them and have not developed. And Rashi says because there's safana miara eggs and they're unfertilized, but it doesn't necessarily, as the other Rishonim bring, have to be unfertilized. Point is that what happens is that the structure of the egg becomes messy. Muzarot, the word muzarot means like nashim muzarot bilavana, women who weave, and the material becomes gooey instead of well defined. So it's muzar. So it's disgusting. I mean, it's not pleasant to eat an egg that's been lying around. So therefore, only a nefesh yafa. If you've got a good stomach and these things don't turn you off, you can eat them. This, by the way, is la halacha. If you don't have a good stomach, you're not allowed to eat them. Because the din is, it's something that disgusts you, you're not supposed to eat because of lo teshakatsu.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's purely subjective.
Purely subjective. So therefore, it says in the Rishonim speak this out, it's dafka nefesh ayofa that should eat them.
So absolutely, go ahead and eat the locust, but I can't because to me it's
Nimtza aleha dam. How about if there's some blood on the egg? Zoreket adam, throw the blood out. Vochel atashar, and you eat the rest of the egg. Now this is why the Beitzim Muzarot is a little bit problematic because according to Rashi, it's talking about unfertilized eggs. And yet the whole sugya continues along as if it's talking about fertilized eggs, which means that we've switched gears in the middle.
Do we have to be talking about the same things necessarily?
No. We don't have to. But that's why some of the Rishonim talk about Beitzim Muzorot have nothing to do with fertilization.
No.
The truth is, in terms of the physical reality of it, as opposed to the way the Gemara talks about it, the physical reality of it is that dam that's found in eggs is found because of the moment that the yolk detaches, really, from the ovaries. So there's the sac tears. Normally the capillaries close, shut down. But if they don't shut down completely, you could find a drop of egg that's deposited on the yolk at that point. First of all, it's never fertilized at that stage. A bird does not get its ovaries, its eggs fertilized anywhere that early. What happens is, and nor do the eggs get fertilized in mating, which is very fascinating. The bird stores sperm. And if it has a little sac that stores sperm, if it has a yolk that passes by, the yolk is deposited there still, but right as it forms the sac out of the ovary, you could see on the yolk, by the way, you could see the actual ovary. There's a tiny little white dot, a little white dot, not the string, The white dot is the ovum. And it's from there that you'll have all of the development. Again, this is like the reality of the egg is, that none of the development of the egg comes from the yolk, it came out at all. It actually comes from the albumen, and that's the raw sheet. What does happen to the yolk, amazingly enough? What happens to the yolk is that it's incorporated into the chick. A chick is born with yolk inside of its body, and it lives off of that yolk for 72 hours. The first 72 hours of its life, it needs no nourishment because it's living from the yolk. Not the raw. He will see in the sugya. He reverses the way the bride was said originally to Abaya. Abaya reversed it. So that's first of all the reality. So what happens is as the yolk slips by on its way to getting a shell deposited over it and so on, it's then that it's fertilized. So there may have been no male around for ages.
Or not.
Exactly. But it's not conception.
Well, there is conception.
There's no conception. This is an egg is nothing but a glorified ovary.
Right, but once it gets fertilized, that's conception.
Well, then it's not immaculate.
Well, that's good. There's no doubt about it.
It's being soaked with water on it.
So the blood comes when the...
Maybe this was Mary's secret.
She was really a duck.
So when they candle an egg, what do they look for? The chick.
So what happens is like this. So the candling of the egg is, there's two things. First of all, if there's blood spots, people don't like them. Right. And you can see a blood spot, you get rid of the blood spot. But if, nowadays it's come out not unheard of that you should actually have a fertilized egg, but that really turns people off. It does happen. Where you get an egg that actually has a chick growing in it. And that's really, that's what they picked up in the candling.
The famous Bavir Mamaisa.
What was that, Mamaisa?
Nadi was starting to be Shomer, and Bavi Irma was the top baker. And she starts to learn, and she learns you have to check the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
She says, this is absolutely ridiculous. I'm not going to bother. And she opens up the egg to drop it into a cake, and the chick folds it. That was it. From then, she came with some flashes. That was her answer. She told me the story. She said, I'm ready to tell
Anyway, so of course, candling picks that up also. But that's very, very rare.
Wait, does a blood spot make an egg trait? That makes it trait.
That's what we're getting into. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of the anatomy of the egg. If you open up the egg, you'll notice that there's a wiry thing, a white wiry thing coming out, which is actually, the name comes from chilazon, it's the chalaza. And it connects both sides of the yolk to the edge of the membrane that's around to be connected up to the shell. All of that is a device that allows the yolk to spin. So that no matter what happens to the egg, the yolk is balanced in such a way that the ovum is always on top. That's all that it is. However, in the Gemara, by the way, you should know that till today, There are thousands of mysteries about a simple chicken egg that nobody understands.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, again, like, you think these are things like, you know, complete mysteries. Just the basic ideas are clear. So in the Gemara, there's something that Shalaza is called the Kesh of the Beza. The Gemara views it as very significant because it sees it as related to the sperm that will fertilize. Therefore, it could be that we just simply don't know. Maybe it really, you know, because of its connection to the ovum and the need for positioning the ovum, maybe it is. I mean, but if you find blood there, it's more significant than finding blood elsewhere, as we'll see. So now, let's begin our journey into the center of the egg. The only time you could simply throw out the egg and you can throw out the blood and eat the rest of the egg, that is only if the blood is found. Oh, look at that. I like that. That's a pretty picture. Okay, so here they show also where the ovum is, which is right there on top, which again, according to the sheet of the row, which is the closest
white
side. Well, I'm waiting for it to go back to this side so I can turn it around. The little white dot is the kesher according to Stam Shita. But the kesher, according to Rashi, Tosfos, and just about everybody else, is this wiry device, which, as I said, is what allows the egg, the yolk to spin. It just keeps it in place.
What keeps the egg from spinning well in the
draw? Well, that's how you test that. It's called megalgoids. That's why it's called megalgoids in the Gemara.
Because they roll.
Boiled eggs. Because the energy is not used up by the yolks spinning from side to side. Yeah. Okay, so this is that thing you think they do the same thing. Rolling in boats, they have weights or water that uses up the energy.
They have a free ballast like that?
Yeah, of course. It prevents the boat from rolling.
Richard,
passenger boat. Anyway, so the nimta, if you find this down on the kesher, so because of that, if it's still there, the blood is still there, that means that it hasn't yet impacted anything that is going to affect the reproduction in this egg, and therefore just throw it out because there's no problem of its being related to the formation of something that would be also to eat. Fact is, it's blood, which came from the mother, maybe, and therefore it's real blood, so throw the blood out. But the egg is unaffected by this blood, since it's still on the kesher. If it's on the kesher, it can't have begun to be part of a reproductive process, because the kesher is unrelated to the development of the embryo, which would only be on the white spot, and from that point out. Toni du stoi avua de Rebbe Aftruki, lo shano ela shenimsa al chelbon shela, aval nimsa al chelmon shela, afilu beitza asura. This is only if the blood is found on the white of the egg, but if it's found on the yolk of the egg, then you have to assume that the whole egg is also, you can't just throw out the blood. My time. But the shada.
Are you referring to like a hard boiled egg? Like at that point?
Doesn't matter. My time, huh? The shada tachlo bekula, because it's already thrown the problem into the entire egg. If you now assume that this egg is already in the process of developing an embryo on it. The truth is fascinating. The embryo begins to develop before the egg is hatched.
The embryo begins?
Right. In other words, you have cell division beginning immediately upon fertilization. It takes still another half a day or day or so. And then when it's hatched, it stops developing until the mother warms it up.
When it's laid,
what you could do is you could put it in the fridge after it's laid.
And stop.
As long as it doesn't stop it from developing, as long as it doesn't get too cold, which can kill it. But and then you can stick it in your incubator. You can incubate it later. That's how they shift my head through and have incubation.
Oh, so really?
Yeah. And if you're into one of these clubs, you know, into one of these clubs, they send you out eggs, a different kind of bird. So okay. Therefore, he's saying there's a question over here whether there's a machlokus between these two shitas. There's some who suggest that maybe there's no machlokus. He's saying anywhere in the white, it's not a problem. Maybe he's coming even to be marbled if it's actually on the tesher, that you don't even have to think about the dam, because then it's not the dam of the mother of the cloth. In any event, we're machbid anywhere to throw out the dam. And if it's on the yolk, so then we throw out the egg. Now, the truth is that it shouldn't be usher at all to us, the egg, because all of our eggs are unfertilized. And since they're unfertilized, there's absolutely nothing that could possibly be happening to the egg that would usher it. The only problem would be the mother's blood, that there might have been a capillary that broke or something and deposited a little tiny bit of blood. So you could certainly get rid of that blood. So Mi'ikra Adin, there's really no problem in our eggs whatsoever. Yeah, and nonetheless, the minig has become to throw them away for some reason. If it's on the yolk. But, you know, if it got mixed up already in a cake and so on and so forth, that for sure is not going to be marked. But there's no real concern at all.
Because it's already mixed up in the cake?
Because it's not usher. It's not usher anyway, so the minig is only to throw out the egg. And it's not really clear, you know, where it came from, this minig. I mean, it's a recent minig. I mean, it could be it's not a real minig, it's just that people never got used to the idea of all the eggs being so far from the hour. Because they lived in a country. In the country, how do you know the egg isn't fertilized? But obviously on these big farms and so on, they don't even have any males around. It's all mechanized, basically. Yeah, so.
My wife is very, very careful. We have a specific pot.
No, you don't have to be careful. You mean a specific pot for boiling it?
So
do we, obviously. I'm saying, but Lamaki.
No, but she's like.
She's super careful.
Only odd numbers.
Yeah, you don't have to really be all that careful. Remember, actually, Moshe said you don't have to be magil with the pot if you find that it did have blood, you don't even have to be magil.
So the chumra of the wing pot company has really taken over that one.
Ah. Yes, I've heard that they've... Actually, you know where it's Nogia? I should have mentioned that. Is that nowadays you buy commercial eggs, they're all... You can buy these cans, you know...
Mixed eggs, yeah.
Mixed eggs. Not at this product also, but there's also mixed. According to she says that all the mixed you can't buy from a goy is the koala problem. Again, but that's obviously in that case, if the only reason is because of, you know, Jews and it's all big social food. That's where the Shiloh came up originally.
So in America, could you...
No, after the Tysus' time, which is the French bread with egg on it. It came up as a big shiloh. Can you buy these eggs, you know, from the shops? They sold hundreds of mixed eggs. All right, so that's the story. This is the we basically treat our eggs as if they're fertilized eggs, and we treat them aliba, basically the shita of Rashi and Tosfos. Well, more Rashi even then. And we aser anywhere on the yellow of the egg that you find. We aser the entire egg, even where it's not fertilized.
One doesn't need an egg, but do they? Sorry.
You could sit in the room behind you. Some kind of people we don't allow in.
You always boil three.
The minig is done separately. Ramesh said also, if it's funny, he wouldn't use the pot, you know, until the next day, but he wouldn't be mogulate. It's not sure to say. It's a minig again. The minig is throw.
Boil
three. If one is straight, the other one will be, will be mevatel. Two against one.
I just remember my mice.
That's also a minute. Yeah.
I was in yeshiva like the first year, the second year. I picked up Rav Wachshel's Practical Guide to Kashrus, and there's this whole chapter about chicken eggs. I didn't know how to handle this at home. I call up my mother, and gently bounce around, and she starts laughing. She said, "You mean you didn't know you have to check eggs? Since I was a little girl, I've been checking eggs."
Yeah. Omele Rav Gevir mi Bekatil Rav Ashi Ivka Tanit Kamida Abaye. You should know that Abaye said this over, Abaye had a Tana saying it over backwards. That's how the original Brisa was said, was backwards, that if it's found on the yoke, it's kosher, but if it's found in the albumin, it's not kosher. And it was Abaye who insisted to turn around the other way, and Abaye with a tirtz in the other way. The way you're saying it over is the way that Abaye corrected it. As I said, there's the sheet of the Ra'oh who sticks to the Brisa's was original. And inverts the whole thing because he says the yolk is not used for developing a chick. So therefore the yolk should be the place where it should be kosher, and then the albumin should be the place where it's not kosher. Omar Chizkiya, minayin lebeitzat tmiyah sheyatzara min hatorah. How do we know that an egg that comes from a tamei bird, a non-kosher bird, is awesome? Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention another fascinating thing. It is that if the reason that these simonim are not reliable is because of the orev that lays eggs that are similar to the yonah, and then the mashmaut is that when it comes to caviar, that it is reliable because we never found a fish that lays eggs that are similar to a non-kosher fish. And indeed, they're similar medayik from the sugya. Whereas other Rishonim taina that in the same way that we find the orev that is similar to the yonah, so mamela, it's just an indication that the simon that we find can't be used as an inductive proof of anything. There's inductive proofs, they're not proofs. They're just in the, you know, right around the corner, there may be the thing that proves the opposite. So therefore, we don't use the magadi to fish either. Sorry, getting back to simon. How do we know that a beitza of tamei is asur? Now, this is a very strange question. How the heck could we have thought it's not? I mean, anything that comes from an asur animal is asur. Well, we need a proof for it. Okay, now, we're gonna this is a fascinating sugya that we're going to have to understand in light of that question. Let's first take a look at the sugya and then see how the response to that question influences the way we see the sugya. Shneimar, ve'et bat haya'ana. We know one of the non-kosher birds is the bat haya'ana. Now, what exactly is a bat haya'ana?
Ostrich.
Well, whatever, but that's a ya'ana. Why does it need to have a bat? Well, what are we talking about over here? A bird is a mammal. I mean, a bat is a mammal. Not a who ever heard of it calling an egg is not a child? So you call it a bat haya'ana. And it means of that species, but to use the bot? So why would we say a bot? I mean, the other way of understanding it is, I'm not focused on the Mars question, the other way of understanding it is, what possible meaning could there be for the bot ayana that would be different than the yana? I mean, right? In what sense is there something unique about a bot of ayana? So then, must be that it's referring to the offspring of the yana, which is the Beit Seah. It's coming to tell me, not only is the Yana Asura, so is her daughter. In other words, the Beit Zah is also, that's the bat of the Yana. Says, you Beit Zah to me, huh? Now, wait a minute, maybe the name of the species is the Bat Yana. I mean, that's a reasonable name for a species. What's wrong with the Bat Yana? I mean, no. Says, but that can't be the name of the species. Says in the Pesuk Beferish that Bat Amil Achzar Kayeinim. So that means the name of the species is the Yana. So it's talking about the Bata Yana, it's got to be referring to the Yana eggs. Oh yeah? Or what about the positive? So you see that there is a species called the Bata Yana, the plural of which is the Bata Yana. What do you do with that? No, that means the Yana that sits and clucks over its lost eggs. So it's the Yana Hamit Abelet Albanea. That's what it means. Oh yeah? And what about the Vishachnu Sham Benot Yana? With that pussy. That means the way a Yana dwells with its children. It spends a long time with its children. It does, huh? How about Tichabdeni Chayata Sadeh Tanim uvnot yana. Now, where is this one? Oh, come on, man. It's clear that there's a species called the Bata Yana. So he's talking about the Beitza. What are you going to say now? I'm not going to try to tell me The Vata Yana means the eggs of the Yana show me honor. Now, how the heck does an egg show honor? I mean, an egg can't say Shira, can it? I mean, Beitzah bat Mimar Shira, you know, the whole point of an egg is it doesn't have a mouth. That's why we give it to another. So if the Bat Ayana is Mitabelet Alvanea, then the Bat can't be the thing that seems Shira. If it has no mouth.
We sang Shira in the May, you came in, right?
But you read mouse. But the egg doesn't sing. The truth is, this has become a major topic, I want you to know, in the Medrash of Pirkei Shira, in the Mefarshim of the Medrash of Pirkei Shira, because all my focus, what exactly do we mean when we talk about Shira? So if you're talking about a malach that's mamuna ala Shira, why can't there be a malach mamuna on an egg? That's Shira. So that's correctly proof, it must be the animal itself that says Shira. To which the response is, so then how do mountains say Shira? They don't have a mouth either. This is a major, major discussion. You understand? Well, obviously, the point over here is that the nature. I never thought it would come from Saba Joshua.
Leading for the army.
Okay. And everything is mutter. So, okay, as obviously, the Nakuda over here is that the unfinished product is not the thing that takes Shira. We have a separate Shira that's being sent from the egg. It doesn't have its own ability to express itself in any way. So therefore, there obviously is a species called the Bat Hayana. So now, getting back to the issue, how do you know a bird, a trefa egg from a trefa bird is not kosher? Elektiv Hayana, Uktiv Bat Hayana, and that's not the point. The point over here is, Shani Ach, the Posak Sifra L'Shtei Tevot, Umin Posak L'Usafra B'Tarte Tevos, Shmamina Treshem Alminu, if the Bat Hayana can be divided into two words, then it's not the name of a single species. And therefore, it's got to mean two different things. The Bat of the Yana. How do we know when something is turned into two words, or one word, whether it could be written on two lines? Because, as the Gemara asks, Elamiata, Kedar La'omer, that's very interesting. In our Sifrei Torah, Kedar La'omer is one word. So, in the Gemara's Sifrei Torah, apparently Kedar La'omer was two words. So Kedar La'omer. We're also Pasuk Safra Batarte. You're going to say that if the Sofer writes Kedar La'omer as two different words, are you going to tell me it's two different people? Hochanami Tarte Shmeninu, Kedar and La'omer? No! Also B'shtei Tevot Pasuk B'shtei Shitim Lo Pasuk. The point is, you're not allowed to write Kedar La'omer on two lines. You have to have Kedar La'omer on one line. By the way, it has all kinds of very interesting implications, legabe contracts. If you're writing a get, let's say, to a bat sheva, you can't write bat on one line and sheva on the other line. Because bat sheva is one name. Interesting. Basically on this Gemara, really. So that, there's another fascinating issue, which is, if there's a space between two words, that shouldn't be there. Does that pass on the Sefer Torah? Because of this Gemara, there came to be a minhag to separate slightly the letters Kedar from La'omer. Even though it's one word, but it's written with a larger space between those two parts of it than is usually between the letters. Most tiny that there's no psul in the Sefer. It doesn't say anywhere a psul in the Sefer Torah, as long as it's on the same line, of a larger than normal space between one group of letters and the other group of letters in a single word. L'mais of the mashmot is in the Rambam that it is possible. But here it would appear there's no equivalent on it. As long as it's not written in two lines. Avalacha filu b'shnei shitim nami possible. Since the halacha is that bat and yana can be written on two lines, it's clear that it's not the name of the species bat and yana. And therefore, it must be a reference to the egg of the yana. Now, Tosus asked the kasha that we asked before. He says, well, what the heck is going on over here? First of all, I mean, why do we need a pasuk to tell me this, or why do I need that it had to be nitrakein in order for the Beitz of a sheretz to be considered a something tamei? Of course it's tamei. It comes from a sheretz. So obviously it's tamei. And why do I need to know in the Gemara that a Beitz that comes from a trefa bird is tamei? Of course it's tamei. Why would I need a batayana to tell me that? So first he has a fascinating solution. A solution is that the batayana is not coming to tell me that the egg is of a tamei is aser. It's coming to tell me that the egg of a chicken is mutter.
But we know that from Shiloh HaKen, no?
I tell you, the boy is amazing. That's my David. Moses gets to that ultimately. But give him time, David. You never have to. Amazing. Guy is just amazing. Okay, so therefore, because I would have said that how are you allowed to eat something from a living animal? If it wouldn't be for a special pasuk that allows you to drink milk, and a special pasuk that allows you to have honey, you wouldn't be allowed to eat those things. It would be osur azeiver menachah. So why am I allowed, and honey's even worse, I mean, the bee's not even kosher, so why would I be allowed to eat an egg? Therefore comes along the batayana, not the asr, the non-kosher egg, but to be matir, the kosher egg.
Is that not inductive? I wasn't sure before what Rabbi said inductive.
No, that's not inductive. So now, the Tosis, however, recognizes, that's a rather strange way of reading the Gemara, and points out, as David did, that in fact we know that a Beis HaTahor is a given, that it's mutter to eat. We know that from Shiluach HaKein, where we have an extra remez, it's lechavlo leklavecha. It can't mean to take it for dog food, it's got to mean to take it to eat. So how could you eat it if it wasn't kosher? So the Torah is already telling us that eggs are kosher. Therefore, time is kosher. What? After a whole shot? Therefore, time is kosher. On the contrary, since the egg is kosher, that is a raya that it's not seen as a time ago. In which case, even an unkosher egg should be kosher. Just like bee's honey is kosher.
It's not part of the
animal. It's not seen as part of the Tanagoma. Therefore, I need a pasuk to tell me that Afal Pike relates back to its mother and its sister.
Calling
it
a bat was by calling it a bat.
That's it. No, so Mamela, we learn out that an egg relates to its mother.
Trade is trade.
If it wouldn't be for that, we'd think it was just something like honey. So, you know. No, the finish, it's not even an Akkadi note from Shiluach HaKein. That was the part where you dozled off a bit. Since the Torah says to take its eggs, and it says bedavka to eat, because it says loch, the lola klaverka. So the male must be kosher. It's not even Menachai, so it's not even Menachai. Maybe it's not related to the mother before. So it'd be kosher even if the mother's drink. Kamash Malan, that it's not the equivalent of honey.
What's the pasuk for milk?
For milk, we bring riot that it talks about drinking milk in the Torah. The Gemara goes through a couple of different things. Yeah, we're going to discuss it again too. Yeah, then the end, how could you call it by the milk and honey? The Gemara discusses that. The Gemara says that. Okay. No, that's the honey part. It's talking about the milk part.